I hope y'all are doing well tonight. Tonight's going to be a little bit different. It is definitely going to be a teaching time, not a preaching time. What we're going to do for the next 2 weeks, so this week and next, is talk about sharing the gospel. This is going to be a very simple presentation. I've actually asked our kids to come in too. This is designed for them, all right? So guys, this is for you, all right? They're just going to listen too. I want to just share a little bit about what happened here. When I was in Texas, became the children's minister, not just working in a children's ministry, but the children's minister of a church, and started processing through some of the experiences of my life, I wanted to learn to share with kids specifically, and I realized I became more effective talking to adults through learning to talk to the kids about what is the gospel. It sounds like a very simple thing, and I've been through some evangelism trainings. One of my favorites is called Evangelism Explosion. It's 16 weeks long. You memorize about a 30-page booklet. It's fabulous. You learn an amazing amount about who God is and His gospel. It's overwhelming. I've used the Roman Road. That's what I grew up being trained on. It is great. One thing about it is if you're anything like me and your memory's not so hot, you have to have a Bible to use that method. And I don't always have a Bible with me. Sometimes God surprises you with something special. So what I did was try to get in and think about what is the simplest and easiest way, the bottom line of what is the gospel. And I kind of developed a way of sharing the gospel around that. And what I want to do is just over the next 2 weeks is teach it to y'all. We could do this in 1 week, but the only reason we're doing this in 2 weeks is because of just memory's sake. I don't want to hit too much at you, so we're going to keep this really, really easy. I hope, my goal, if we had to put down a teaching aim at the bottom of this, is that you would come away saying, I can share the gospel, this is easy. I can do this, just very simply. I want you all to gain confidence because I know, I mean, I can look out and know everybody here and say, y'all know the gospel. And you can share it. And maybe some of the reason that some of us are so hesitant is that we haven't ever really worked on how do we share the gospel. I want to start with a very important text. If you would, open your scriptures to Romans chapter 10. We talk a lot here about missional living, right? There are multiple pieces to missional living. One of the ones we emphasize a lot is service, is loving, caring, befriending people. That is where sharing the gospel starts, is being a gospel person, is living the gospel. But sometimes that can get to be a problem. And so much so, it almost became a cliche of you know, I just live the gospel out and let people ask me about why. The truth is, when you do something really amazing for somebody, you see they haven't mowed their grass, and you know the guy's out of town, and you just go over, you mow their lawn. Very typically, people will think, my goodness, what a nice guy, what a nice lady. They typically don't think, oh my goodness, he believes in Jesus, so should I. We just don't make that connection on our own. There comes a point where you have to share a verbal witness. And we're called to that. I want you to look at Romans chapter 10, verse number 14. It says, how can they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how can they believe without hearing about him? Read that again. How can they believe without hearing about him? And how can they hear without a preacher? I think this passage certainly talks about vocational preachers or not necessarily even vocational, but the office of the preacher, the pastor of a church. But I think this passage here is very specifically talking about a whole lot more folks. I think it's talking about every single one of us. Preaching, the word, the direct translation from what the Greek says is proclamation. It's telling. It's the herald. How can they hear without a preacher? Verse 15, how can they preach unless they are sent? That's the church's job. As it is written, how welcome are the feet of those who announce the gospel of good things. It's a beautiful passage. One of my favorites in the Scripture. How beautiful are the feet walking to you, coming to share the good news of Jesus Christ. My prayer is that our feet will become beautiful after tonight and next week. That we will walk out as a people sent with beautiful feet. Let's pray. God, Lord, just work in our hearts. Train us, equip us, prepare us to share the gospel. Lord, as the Apostle John said, would that we would all become partakers in the gospel ministry. Lord, as Paul said, may our feet be shod with the gospel of peace that is ready to go. Make our feet beautiful, Lord. Use us, prepare us, and train us. Lord, I pray that you would just speak through me. Help me to be clear, Lord. I confess my thoughts seem fuzzy tonight. Lord, just send forth your word, Lord, and let there be light. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to start with a simple question. I've asked Brother Bryce. He's got a microphone, so everybody can hear you here. Because y'all are spread out. Nobody believes I'm sitting in the front rows. So I'm going to make you talk into a microphone, all right? And I want to start. I'm going to pick on Ethan and Tate over here, all right, guys? I want you to see if you can whip something out here for me to start with. I have a very simple question. If we're going to talk about sharing the gospel, what is the gospel? Give me a synopsis. All right, Bryce is going to run around with the microphone. So just wave at Bryce. He's short. You're going to have to stand up real tall and wave so he can see you. All right, Tate and Ethan, if you can come up with something to start with, I want to see it. All right, so y'all just think for a minute. But anybody else? Bryce, just find some folks. What is the gospel? Michael, Brother Michael.
The good news.
The good news. That is a literal translation of the gospel. Good news. So give me some more. What is the good news? Or why is it good? Why is it news? All right. Jeff, what you got, man?
Oh, gosh. The fact that Christ did something for us that we couldn't do, and he gave us a free gift, and he died in our place, and he rose on the third day.
All right. So he died.
And we'll be raised like what? Because we had sinned.
Because we had sinned. That's right. All right. Okay, Ethan, hook us up, bro.
Christ on the cross.
Okay, Christ on the cross. Amen. What else? What? Flesh this thing out for me.
I always heard it was one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread.
Beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. Amen. Christ says, I am the bread of life. If you do not eat of my flesh, you'll never see the kingdom of God. All right, Tate, what you got, man?
Someone's love.
Okay, someone's love. Who specifically, Tate, whose love? Jesus Christ. Amen.
Jesus is
love. Anything else? What? Flesh out. What is this gospel thing? There I see you. We'll hit Harold and then swing over to Ashley.
Let me have that thing. It's about 33 and a half years of a man's life that lived here on earth. It showed us a perfect way to live.
All right. Showed us the perfect way to live. We're going to come back to that in just a second. Ashley.
Well, I was going to say that it's actually the Son of God on earth, that God came to earth and form a man and live the sinless, perfect life that we couldn't do.
Absolutely. Exactly. The perfect life, what we couldn't do, God himself. As the Gospel of John put it, Christ became flesh and dwelt among us. All right, last one. We're going to finish out with the wise sage, Kenny Nolan.
Well, I would say that the gospel is that, you know, God created man perfect. And man sinned and was permanently separated from God. But God, there's that word, but God, provided a way through his Son, Jesus Christ, that we could have eternal life for him when he came and lived a sinless life and died on the cross and rose on the third day.
Amen.
And so all who believe will have salvation.
Amen. Well, here's what we're going to do. When I sat down and I thought, all right, how do I share this in a way anyone can understand it? I thought through the different methods of sharing the gospel I had learned. And the one thing that tied them together that made them so complicated was they each used about 50 different Bible verses. And that's really good, because there's about, you know, however many Bible verses there are that share the gospel. The whole point of the Bible is the gospel. It runs from Genesis to Revelation. But is there a summary verse? And as I thought through this and prayed through this, I came to one verse. It says this: "For God so loved the world in this way, he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Joe's going to pass out a couple little handouts here. I want everybody to have one of these. This is what I wrote down, and I'm going to give every one of you one of these to work with. If you want to use this method of sharing the gospel, and what I would encourage you is, don't use my method for sharing the gospel. Use the one that God lays on your heart. If you want to take some pieces from what I do, that's great. If you want to take some pieces from what somebody else does, that's great. But most of all, get into the Scriptures and see the gospel. See the gospel and share that gospel. Y'all don't fight. We got plenty. This is a very, very simple way of putting it. If you look at that first one with the big globe on it, or the two globes on it, I guess, you'll see that John 3:16 is broken up into three simple truths. And what we're going to do, and I'm going to use a big word here if you don't mind, we are going to exegete John 3:16. In other words, we're going to pull out, we're going to pull out the truths from this scripture passage and be able to share this. One thing I want to talk about, that there may be some things on here that you look at this and you're like, man, this is for kids. Some of the things I put on here that may look like they're for kids are really not for kids. They're for the adults. Because what we need to remember is not everybody knows all the things we know. The gospel is a simple truth. Jesus died, lived a sinless life, died, was buried, rose again, ascended after 40 days, reigns in heaven now. His presence is among the church, and anyone who believes in him will be saved forever. How do you know that? Because someone's told you. Because you've been taught, because you've read the Word of God. The most simple thing I do is I start with talk to people, and I say, hey, have you ever heard the verse John 3:16? And you know, there's a very simple reason I start with that. You know what it is? Almost everybody's heard it. That is one of the few Bible truths that nearly everybody in the United States has heard. If they haven't heard the actual verse, guess what? They've seen that scripture reference. They know the phrase John 3:16. They may have no clue what that means, but they have heard it. Whether it's even some fruitcake on a football, you know, in the audience with a sign, or whatever it is, they know of this thing called John 3:16. All right? So what I do is say, hey, have you ever heard John 3:16? Most people will say, yeah, I know John 3:16. And I said, do you know where that comes from? Most people are going to know that comes from the Bible. But you'd be surprised how many don't. But if you say, the Bible, the Scripture, is God's book for us, how would you summarize the Bible in one sentence? You saw mine. God's totally true book to us. It is true. It is truth. And that's what we want to get to. If we want to know what good news is. We got to go to the scriptures. And this is printed out, and we're going to just see what do those scriptures say. So three basic truths. For God so loved the world. What's the basic truth from that? God loves us. God loves us. I'll come back to that and talk about how we apply that here in just a second. First truth I want everybody to think about tonight. God loves us. Second truth, that He sent His one and only special Son or only begotten Son. Again, remember, people don't know these things until they're taught. So we use very simple language. One and only special Son. I always ask a very simple question. Who is that? It's Jesus. Second truth, God sent Jesus Christ to us. First truth, God loved us. Second truth, He sent Jesus Christ for us. Third truth, that whoever believes in Him should not die, but have everlasting life. What we're going to do in the next few minutes is just unpack those truths. The for God so loved the world part, that's really easy. It's kind of obvious what it is. But I want to talk to you about how we share that. The second part, we're going to spend a little bit more time, and we're going to talk about what is this thing called the gospel? What is the doctrine of salvation? The third part, what is our response to it? Again, we're going to spend a little more time there. So here's how I start. I start by talking to people and kind of trying to find out where they're at. Evangelism Explosion uses a great question that is very, very telling. If people know how to answer this question, they're probably saved, or they know how to be saved. And that question is, if you were to die tonight and you stood before God and He said, "Why should I let you into my heaven?" what would you say? There's only one answer that works, isn't it? Jesus Christ died for my sins, and I trust Him to take care of it. There's a little problem with that question. It's really not very fun to say, "Hey, what if you were to die right now, and God pointed His finger right at you and said, why should I let you in heaven?" It's a little mean. I mean, I want to share with you a way I stole from somebody that's a way to ask the exact same question, but a lot more pleasantly. This is from a guy named Ray Ortland. He's a pastor out on the west side of Nashville. He said this, two questions. What does God think of us? Maybe even more specifically, what does God think of you? Think about that question for a second, how you would answer that. What does God think of you? Second question, what are you doing about that? Most of us, whether we're saved or not, have to admit, you know what? God probably knows how rotten I am inside. God probably knows where I'm really at. Now, most people might say, well, God knows I'm trying. God knows I'm doing this. But they know deep down, God knows everything. So that question, that second question that I've started asking people is, what are you doing about that? And if people say, I'm trying to live a good life, that tells you about what they believe salvation is, doesn't it? That tells you they don't know the gospel. If they say, I'm trusting Jesus, that also tells you something too. So it's just a way of exploring, where are they at? Now, how do you transition that question into sharing the truth of God's Word? Very simple. Can I share with you what someone shared with me that changed everything? Those are almost the exact words I use most times. Can I share with you what somebody shared with me? Don't have a cocky attitude going in this that I know something you don't. Truth is, you do. But our pride will show how much we don't accept the gospel ourselves. So guys, Ethan, Tate, when you get ready, when a friend's talking to you, when you're hanging out at lunch, and somebody says, what'd you do this weekend? You said, I went to church. And you start talking to him, and you say, can I share something with you that I learned? You can say this. Did you know that God loves you? The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Now, here's what I do. If I'm talking to kids, guys, if you're talking to one of your friends, you can ask a really fun, goofy question. All right, are you ready for this? You ask the most obvious question. Are you on the world? The answer is, yeah. Do you know what that means? God loves you. We adults, we have to be a little more sophisticated. Here's how I usually do it when I'm talking about the two adults. I say, for God so loved the world. And I ask them, hey, are you on the world? Or are you floating around? Then God loves you. You know, we adults try to make things complicated. We don't have to. God loves you. And one of the things I share with people, because this is the confusing thing. We think God's love is like our love. When we do good, we think God loves us. When we do bad, we think God gets angry, throws a lightning bolt. Do you know what this scripture says? And point to them in your Bibles if you have them, or maybe on this card. Does it condition God's love? Does it say God loves you when? No, it just says God loves the world. I share with people every time, on your worst day, when you have done the worst thing in your life, God loves you as much as your very best day. God loves you. His love is unlike anything else. That's all I share on that first truth. It's very simple, but it's overwhelming. Second truth, what is it? God loves you and sent His only begotten Son. So second part, so for God so loved the world that He gave His only special Son. And I asked a very simple question. Hey, do you know who God's Son was? I've never had somebody not say Jesus. It's Jesus. And then I ask a very unusual question, and it's right over here. This is what this arrow is. Think about that for just a second. And if it's a kid, guys, I've got the best story you can ask your kids, ask your friends. All right, Tate? Here's what you'd say to them, okay? I want to know, did you get a Christmas present last year? Everybody said, oh, yeah. And I always ask them what it was. But then I ask this, and if it's an adult, you can ask this about their own kids or their growing up experience. You can say, hey, for Christmas, has your mom or dad ever said, hey, come here. Christmas Eve, I need you to come here into my room for a second. And there sitting was a gigantic box that happened to be Tate size. And they picked you up, helped you, they threw you in the box, put the lid on, slapped a bow on it, and said, this is a present for your sister. And I always ask kids, and I love this, so you guys ask your friends this, I always ask, would you like that present? And you know what? As much as people should love their brothers and sisters, I have never said, had anyone say they'd like that present, Tate. Not a single time in sharing this with hundreds of kids have I ever had a kid say, that really sounds good to me. But if you ask a dad and say, would you ever wrap your son up and give him away? Any dad on this planet, any mom on this planet would say, never. So the point I try to make with every person I share is, why in the world would God give His Son? Why would God give His Son? We don't give our children. It's not something we do. It's against everything that's in us. We don't give children as gifts. Right, parents? You never think about it. It would never cross your mind. And the whole reason I go through all that trouble is to get to one point. Why would God give His Son? Why would God give His Son to you? And why should you want His Son? I say there has to be something big, something unusual, something unique that God was wanting His Son. And we're going to turn to two other verses. Romans 3:23. If you have your Bibles open, flip to that real quick for me. Romans 3:23. I explain, well, there's a reason that God had to send His Son for you and for me. And it's found in Romans 3:23, and I usually don't turn in my Bibles here, I just quote it, and it's also on that card. It says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. at this point, don't jump and assume people know as much as you think they know. Do you know that sin is an unpopular word today? And most people assume when you talk about sin, you're talking about murder. You're talking about adultery. You're talking about violence. Most people don't ever think that you're talking about kids, guys. Most people, when you hear the word sin, you don't think disobedience of your parents, being disrespectful, lust, greed, anger that's acted out upon sinfully. We need to explain sin because this verse says all have sinned. And I make a point to say, that means me, I have sinned. And that means you. What is sin? I put a little definition on there. Think about your own just for a second. Before you read that, don't look at it. It's over in the yellow. But just for a second, think about what is sin? I think of 1 John 5. It says, for all sin is lawlessness. It's breaking God's law. Sins are when we disobey God's laws, is what I wrote down here. Like lying, disobeying your parents. But sin is so much more. And it runs so deep. When you're talking, especially to an adult, I'm going to talk to the adults over here for just a second, okay, guys and gals? When we're talking to adults, one of the things we don't think about is that God is so good, so almighty, so powerful, so big, that when we fail to worship Him, we are thumbing our nose. We are flicking God off. The Bible says we are at enmity. We are in hatred of God. And so when the Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short, they plummet. We drop. There's a beautiful word here. This fall short word, it's an archery word, is what Paul uses. And this is, I love to explain this to people. Imagine shooting a bow and arrow at a target, which I have no clue how to do. I'm probably holding my hands wrong. But pulling this back and shooting that, I guarantee you, unless it was just sheer dumb luck, I would not hit the bullseye. But the truth is, I'm such a wimp and so lousy at anything athletic. I tried to shoot a bow once. My next door neighbor had one, and he said, hey, shoot this. He was tuning it up for hunting season for deer. He had this bow tuned. It was a compound bow. I tried to pull this bow back, and I failed. The arrow went about 2 feet because I did not have the strength to yank that dadgum bow all the way back and shoot this enormous, you know, it looks like it was a javelin on this thing that he was shooting at deer, or actually I think he was hunting elk. But this monster bow, and he was yanking this thing back and just shooting it over and over and over and hitting the target every time. I went up to shoot it, and I could not yank it back far enough and let go, and the arrow just dinked down. That's the falling short. It's not that we miss the target by a little bit. It's that our arrow dinks down on the ground. We completely miss God. But then I emphasize to them, now who does this verse say has sinned? Who? And what's the answer to it? All. Me, you, everybody. Then I turn to another verse, just a couple of pages over. Romans 6:23. We're going to use a little bit of logic. Who sinned? All. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages or payment, all right, hey, guys, y'all use the word payment, okay? Because that's easy to understand, all right? Because you guys don't have a job, you don't get wages. Just use the payment or punishment for sin. Us adults, we understand wages. We understand working for money. But the wages of sin is death. And I explain that death very simply because a lot of people, if they are not grown up in the church, they assume when you say death, you mean getting put in a cemetery. But death in the Scripture usually refers to forever condemnation away from God in that real but horrible place called hell. Those are very carefully chosen words. Real and horrible place called hell. For the wages of sin is death. And I stop and I want to pull a little logic. All right, Russell, it's lawyer time up here. We're just going to follow some logic. Who has sinned? All. What is the payment or the wages for sin? Death. Who gets death? All. That's a scary thought. Why did God send His Son? Why did God make a gift of His child? Because every single one of us was headed for that real and horrible place called hell. And God loved us, so He had to stop it. That's why. God sent His Son. I want to come back to a couple things a few folks said earlier. What did Jesus do on the cross? We're going to get into some theology. I won't explain this to everybody here. I just want to talk with us for just about 3 minutes here on this, and then we're going to finish things up. What did Jesus do on the cross? All right, I heard a substitute. Earlier we talked about He gave us an example. There's lots of words. One of the Eastern Orthodox churches always emphasized that what He did was He defeated Satan. The truth is, all these things are true. Did Jesus give us a perfect example? Absolutely. Was He our substitute on the cross? Absolutely. Did He defeat Satan on the cross? Absolutely. When I share the gospel, I only emphasize one of these. It's the most significant one. And that is, He was our substitute. And by the way, it's also the easiest to explain. Because Jesus died in our place. And what I do, I take out my wallet. Now, if you're a lady and you don't have a wallet, I can't imagine why you'd ever do that. But if you're a lady and don't have a wallet, y'all have to figure out something. I've never shared the gospel as a lady, so I just don't even know how to help you. But I flip out my wallet and show them my driver's license. And I ask them, what does this mean? What shows who you are is usually an example, and it lets you drive. Right? All right, now, guys over there, you're not going to have a driver's license. But you could pull out one of your books, right? You say, what if this book or what if this wallet didn't just have my height and weight, which is too much, and my birthday, but it said everything about me. Absolutely everything about me. It'd be a little bigger, wouldn't it? But in the Old Testament, and I say it just like this, in the Old Testament, it's out of the book of Isaiah, it says the iniquity or the sin of us all. So imagine this had everything about me. This is me. It says the iniquity or the sin of us all, God placed on Him. Why did God have to send His Son? Why did God give His kid to us? Because He took all of me and put it on Him. He took those sins that I should pay for. And what did Christ do? He died. What was the penalty for sin again? Death. And so I explain it just like this. I say He took the sin of us all. He took my sin. He took yours. And God laid it on Christ. And then I ask the question, listen to this, because you're gonna help them answer it correctly. What did Christ do on the cross? He died. There's only one answer to that. That's why you helped them answer it correctly. What did Christ do for you on the cross? He died. Wait a minute. What did you say the penalty was for all our sin? Death. And Christ died. And I say this very phrase every time I share the gospel, because I want people to understand how significant it is. Christ experienced hell for you. I don't say He went to hell, because I don't think that's the best interpretation of the scripture. But Christ went through hell upon that cross for me and for you. So why did God send His only begotten Son? It's because I sinned. And the rest of that verse, by the way, Romans 3:23 says, for the wages, the payment of sin is death. But the free gift, we're talking about the same thing here. Remember, God gave, and I tie those two verses together. God gave His only special Son, Jesus, for you. That's what's so important. So what should you do about it? This is good news, right? all should go to hell, but God gave his only son, we come to truth number three. Truth number one, God loves you. And I review it just like this. Truth number two, God gave his only begotten son for you. Truth number three, whoever believes in him should not die. It's that same word again. And I say it just like that. Tie these things together for people. We don't naturally make connections in our brain. We need help doing it. Connect the dots for people when you're sharing the gospel. Connect the dots. This verse says die. So did Romans 6:23. So what do we need to do? And I just point to it just like this. Whether it's in my Bible or on this card, I'm just doing this so y'all can see it. We believe. Now, I ask most people, especially kids, this question. Russell Gill, you're going to want to ask your friends this because you like being sarcastic like this. I'm going to ask, say, Ethan, I want to know, do you believe in Abraham Lincoln? You do, right? Because you've learned about him in school, right? And we know it. I mean, if you wanted to, you could go visit his grave. Do you pray to him at night? No, right? We wouldn't do that. That would be really crazy, right? So let me tell you something. If we're talking about God, that kind of word belief is different. And you see how I've kind of just tied that? I've showed people it's good to know that Jesus is real. It's good to know that Jesus did things for you. It's also good to know Abraham Lincoln was real. He did some cool stuff too. But the scripture says we're to trust or have faith. And I'd use those three words, believe, trust, and have faith. If you use all three of those words together, people start to get it. We start to get it. Because we do the same thing. How many of you said, oh, I just need to believe God is going to do this? You know what we're talking about? You know what we've done? We've relegated this to an Abraham Lincoln kind of belief. We need to trust. We need to have faith. Because, by the way, these three truths, Jesus, God loves you, he sent his son, and we are to believe in him to have eternal life. Does this stop at salvation? This is how you live. Tomorrow morning when you get up and your boss treats you like dirt, do you know the solution to that? God loves you. He sent his son. You are to believe and trust in him and apply what he teaches you. You are to apply the good news to that situation. The gospel is for living. But I talked to him about that. What is belief? It is trusting God totally. I want to do one more thing and then we're going to close. Flip that page over. We're going to do this next week and practice this. All right, so y'all get ready. I'm about to assign the homework here. I'm not kidding. The yellow box over there. I want to read it to you because this was put in there very specifically for our culture. Because our culture, do you know what? You'll have a lot of people say, yeah, that sounds good to me. Or that's good for you, but not for me. Or I'm going to start doing that. I'm going to try that. That word try comes up a lot. The gospel is different. Jesus wants you to believe in him with everything in you. You can't try to get to heaven by working or believing in other gods and still truly believe in him. In other words, Jesus plus being a good person, Jesus plus, and I would say it just like this, believing in some other things, some truths that Buddha taught, or some truths of this or truths of that, that's not belief in Christ. Believing in God means that he is the only real God. He's it. Three truths. God loves you. He sent his son for you. And you need to trust him as your Savior. Very simply. All right. I told you I got homework for you. Two things. First, scripture memory time. Now here's the easy part. I want you to memorize those three verses. John 3:16, Romans 3:23, and Romans 6:23. The easy part, most of you probably already have John 3:16 down. A lot of you probably have those other two down too. This week, would you do something, review those? If you need to, just to remember, the nice thing, it's on there, John 3:16, 3:23, 6:23. They're all on that card, so you don't have to write it down. They're right there for you. Memorize those this week. If you know them, review them. And just think and meditate on those a little bit this week. So next week, I want you to come in, have those three memorized. I mean, just be able to whip them off without even thinking about it. Get those three verses into your heart. The second thing, I want you to practice telling these three truths as long or as short as you want to. I've used this gospel presentation in 5 minutes. I've used it in 35 minutes. Doesn't matter. The situation determines it. God will show you how long it needs to be. I want you to practice this on your spouse. Hey, guys, you live right across the street from each other. I want you to get together one time. Practice telling it to each other. All right? You can help each other. It doesn't matter how terrible it sounds. Practice at least one time. If you could practice three times, you'd be in much better shape. Now, you may not use this exact method. That's totally fine. Try doing it like this with these three truths at least one time this week, because it will sharpen whatever method you use. I try to go back and go through the Roman Road and EE about once a month, just in my own mind, just going through it, because it helps you to think about the gospel. So two homework, practice, memorize three verses. I love you guys. It's been fun tonight. I hope you haven't been too bored. I know this is not a real exciting, you know, thrilling, you know, taffy spinning sermon or anything like that. But I hope it's been practically good. Next week, we're going to practice, and we're going to go over that back page. What happens when somebody says, yeah, I want to do that? It's amazing when people do that. You say, oh, let's see if we can put some words to that to help you walk through leading someone to the Lord. Let's bow and pray. God, thank you. You're good. God, you love us and you sent your Son, and we praise you for it. And Lord, tonight we trust you to take care of it all. We love you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all have a great week.